You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, my name is Kaylin Green, and I'm the social media intern here at The Only One in the Room. My role on the team is running the Facebook and Twitter accounts. I enjoy podcasting because I like to multitask and have something to listen to that sparks my interest, like hearing a new story on a podcast. This week, I'd like to share my pick of the season 16/17 break. In the episode, Clint Shaft is the only dad talking about IVF. The reason I like Clint's episode is that I've never heard from the paternal side about what it's like going through IVF. It's surprising to me that in this modern day, the different options of pregnancy, such as surrogacy and IVF, are not so hush-hush topics like they were in the past. Yet, they are commonly voiced by women. So to hear the side of a father talking about that journey and what Clint's perspective was like was really nice. I hope you enjoy the show.
We are talking with Clint Shaft. He is here to talk about IVF and his experience having his daughter, Carter. It was a really wonderful interview. You know, you talked about so many things. If I were going to come to you, if you and I were friends and I was going to have a kid and you had been through this experience and I said, dude, what am I up against? What's going to happen here? What would you say to me?
About the process of like trying to get pregnant and all that, or once the kid's here?
Well, no, like the process. Because I think most of the lack of talking about IVF amongst men is just that, first of all, there's not a lot of community around it. And it does seem like the woman's job, you know, in sort of societal expectation. So I think a lot of times men, we lack that ability to form communities, and conversation is a great way to start it. I felt like I was a part of your journey during the interview. So I thought maybe I'd ask you if you were going to tell me what I might be up against, what that might look like.
Yeah, I would say, I would encourage anyone who would come to me on this topic to look at it as not only opportunity to get some support that they may need, right? Support, like in any area where people need support. If you know somebody who has like a challenging illness or something, the support partner often needs support, right? So mm-hmm. In this case, in a heterosexual couple where the female partner is going through this IVF process, their partner needs to support them. Well, someone needs to support the support partner. And so get a couple people who you know, you have some agreement on privacy, if that's what you require, or you have, you know, some rapport, some, you know, that will not think you're crazy if you call with some sadness or some elation or some questions, or you want to complain about your wife's hormones or whatever you want to do. You need to mm-hmm. have some place, somebody to talk to. And to look at this as an opportunity, honestly, to just bolster some relationships that go beyond this unique period in your life. Like there's a handful of people, and they weren't necessarily my closest friends all the time. Some of them are my closest friends, but there are some people who I had really great connection points around the IVF journey with that were just good listeners that are now we talk about other stuff. We talk about our business goals or our legacy endeavors. And because we've kind of developed a you know, platonic intimacy that is uncommon in male friendships. Yeah.
You bonded over that. Yeah. That begins this process of opening yourself up to new experiences with people. But what if I said, what actually am I going to have to go through, Clint? Like, as a man, what does this look like for me? Like, am, you know, because I think when I had my first kid, I have two girls, they're now 22 and 17. And I thought, hey, this is a doorway to some great sex. And then our second kid, you know, was work. Like you said, after a year of trying, you're kind of like, what's the next chapter of this look like? And then you guys, you know, go through a next series of tasks. Basically, they become oriented tasks and prescriptions. But what might that look like for a guy who's out there, whose wife says, we're going to do this, and I want you to be involved. And he goes, whatever you say, honey.
Yeah.
What does that look like for him?
Yeah, well, it'll look a lot better if he joins that journey with gusto and enthusiasm, because I don't think it'd be a lot of fun to be dragged along on that. I think, I guess that's for every couple to figure out how they make decisions together. You know, different strokes for different folks. But I would strongly encourage it to be a shared journey along the way. Most likely it's economically a shared journey. That's one of the biggest burdens here. And then emotionally, you know, I think most of the burden sadly falls on the woman who would hold the pregnancy. And so, whatever I'm going through, eat it to some degree, because there's somebody who's going through more than me, and try to support them. Right. And then, and also not like even saying that, I feel like a jerk, because I feel like I'm trying to like put on some hero cape. It's not about a hero cape. It's just like the thing to do. Right. If one person's got a lot of things, you know, carrying 17 boxes, and you take three of the boxes off their arms, right? Like, do everything you can to help. Right. If you can't help physically, that's what one's in for. And I think they're in for a lot of empathetic listening and advice giving with stated in the most generous way. And I'm, you know, I'm a good dude. You know, you and Laura both being really complimentary to me in these interviews. Just there's all kinds of things I did wrong. She'd be like, why aren't you taking notes in this doctor's appointment? Or like, why, you know, we have 1,000 baby books, and to, you know, I'll admit I didn't read hardly any of them. Right. And so I didn't do my part, you know, I just did more than some other guys do. And that just means, gosh, I could do a lot better, but you know, I'd encourage everyone every man to do what they can, do everything they can, because, and also it's good. It's selfish, because at the end of the day, I don't want to feel like this kid that's in my house for 18 years is like not my kid. I want to be like, yeah, homie, Carter,
we I've did been rolling this together with
you since -9 months old, you know, and some. So like, we are in this. I'm your dad. This is cool.
That I love, at the least, I love the idea of doing everything with joy. Like, I really like that idea. Like the picture you painted of you guys doing shots and doing little dances is so great. I mean, I think those little things probably go a long ways in times where you think, you know, I think the problem societally is men have been told that we need to fix things. So when we're offered a problem, we get into this sort of juggernaut of how to fix things. And a lot of times we just need to be a part of something. And it sounds like this situation is obviously something that you really get to exercise that experience with.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Yeah, we try to find as many opportunities to share in this as possible. Like, I mean, this is like an intimate detail of our lives, but like, anytime she goes to bed, the baby is on a different floor than where we spend most of our time. We do kiss sandwich, where we both kiss her cheek, one cheek at the same time. We say kiss sandwich. I don't know. I like that it isn't, we didn't plan this strategically or anything, but I think the positive consequence of that is that if one parent is putting Carter to bed in the bassinet 3 times in a row, well, at least the other person got up for a second and like kissed the baby on the cheek and was present for that. You know, I would assume that would subtract from either parent feeling like, oh my gosh, they really stuck it, you know, so-and-so spouse really stuck it to me today. You know, look at me, I'm doing everything by myself. At least be a little bit present to whatever degree one can be in the equitable distribution of duties in a household, you know?
How long do you think you guys have been on this journey? How long from a year of trying to like...
Well, I mean, we got married December 2016 and we, you know, pulled the goalie right away. So we've been at it. Right.
Wow. Pulled the goalie.
I mean, that's pretty normal for a journey like yours. I mean, people will try for 8 years, 7 years.
Yeah, and we were of a certain age where, like, obviously the you know, medical professionals would suggest that, like, if we were going to try to, it was the time to get going with IVF, because we met each other later in our lives. Really glad we did, because I wouldn't have known her if I had gotten married when I was 35 or 30 or 28.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Baby Carter has found herself in a lovely family. I mean, I really am blown away by your joy and the way, I mean, I'm entertained by you alone. She must just be like, it must be heaven to be in your family in your house for a full day. So if you were to say to anything to people who are trying right now, who are maybe wanting to give up or forgetting why they fell in love, what advice would you offer them at this time in your journey?
Anytime I give advice, I start with the advice that to understand that everyone gives advice from their own experience. So to take that into account when receiving the advice. And the other advice I often give is to try to avoid extreme polarities. So like we tend to think like do this or do that. And so with those kind of pre-statements, my advice would be to go after it with gusto and enthusiasm and know that like miraculous things can happen. And at the same time, build a reservoir of a plan to be happy regardless of the outcome. Because I think a lot of the advice, and there's, you know, there's a lot of Pinterest type stuff that's like, you can do it, never give up, whatever. Like, well, there is a time that to acknowledge that it's actually not going to happen or that a thing isn't going to happen. And we have to choose to be happy and productive and get our needs met in other ways when one door closes. And so I think that's a unique piece of advice I'm giving here. Cause I think people tend to be like, well, throw in the towel or don't throw in the towel. I think the choice is, as long as you're able to keep doing it and it's the benefits of doing it outweigh the challenges of doing it, keep doing it. And also, meanwhile, as you go through it, acknowledge that math and science are real and probabilities over time might indicate that you might need to stop at some point and you might need to find happiness another way. You know, I had my first experience with someone, it was a childless family, happily childless, was I had a high school counselor growing up in North Dakota. And this woman and her husband didn't have children, I believe not out of choice, although I can't verify that. And they were basically the parents to all kinds of kids in school. And like, what an interesting other way to have those needs met. So that's just one example, you know, of lots of ways to exude one's parenting skills or their need without maybe having a child. So I think there's a way to do both.
I think that's wonderful advice and it's very realistic. I think it's a lot of work to live with both possibilities within us. And I think that's why it's easier sometimes to not try.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll just throw in there real quick. Throughout the whole interview, you gave a lot of really good advice. And one of the things I think I really tapped into was the energy that you put into everything and around everything. The very last time that you guys went in for the treatment, was there anything different that day that happened? Was there, looking back on it, or is it just a math and numbers and science, you think it finally caught up to that possibility?
Great question. I mean, by far the biggest change in variable was the egg donor, right? Mm-hmm. So we have an egg from a woman in her 20s or young 20s. It's significantly, you know, Laura shared those statistics on the other episode about, you know, how much more likely that is to result in a pregnancy. So that's the most giant variable. I would also say, I don't want to overstate this, but there was a certain calm because we had gone through a valley period of like acknowledging that this might not happen. So it was like, all right, we're playing with house money here. We a gratitude for having the privilege to continue to try. And that was, you know, that might have had a positive impact on our result. We were living in the Bay Area and we went back down to LA for a transfer because the bank was there or whatever, the egg bank. And so that was a unique circumstance too. Like we stayed at a fancy hotel in Sunset Strip and it was during the pandemic. So it was kind of a privilege during a time where we weren't going anywhere. We, you know, right. We like to go to fancy hotels in different cities. So it was kind of felt like a vacation, strangely enough, you know? And I don't know, maybe that was a factor too. We were back home in LA, which we think of as home in many ways and having a nice relaxing time and to the extent you can during this process. And, you know, it all worked out.
I love it, man. I think that I always have a, you know, sort of sixth sense to that idea of when everything kind of lines up, things fall into place. And thanks for your time. You've been wonderful. I hope we get to connect with you. I'm not sure we're coming to Arkansas, but you've made it sound kind of interesting.
I'd really like to.
Yeah. Y'all are going to love it. I'm telling you. It's great. We got a big concert. Black Keys just announced a show this week. There's a lot going on in this little town. A lot of art. Mm. I welcome you to come anytime.
Well, I'll be there on my book tour, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The book tour.
Fayetteville nearby is where the University of Arkansas is. And there's a great bookstore right down the street from our house called Two Friends. It's like my favorite bookstore in the world. You got to do an event here at Two Friends.
We'll make sure.
She'll come promote, and then be on the show. And then we get to play with Baby Carter.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Clint.
Thank you, Clint.
Yeah, thank you too. Thank you both.
And another fantastic episode in the can.
I love our show.
I do too. And speaking of our show, we want to thank all of our Patreons for making it possible. And we'd like to welcome the new ones as well.
Welcome. And hun, explain how it is that our Patreons support our show and how folks can join our Patreon.
Sure. So we are an independent podcast, which means that there is no corporation behind us, which also means we have the freedom to bring you the stories that you want to hear.
Yes, which also means that we depend on you to keep producing these stories.
Right. And we really appreciate you. So basically to join, you just go to our website.
There's a link in our show notes of this episode to make it easy.
Then you follow the simple instructions. Also, there is a level for everybody. And after you join, you get access to all of our exclusive bonus content and special opportunities like monthly storytelling, which is a video series. We also do Zoom hangs. Please come hang with us. Monthly memberships start at $5 per month, not per day, that's per month. And the Zoom hangs are my favorite part. So which of our patrons are we shouting out today?
So today we're shouting out two of our favorites.
Right on.
Kelly Nishimoto of Cute Booty Lounge.
Right, Cute Booty.
Cute Booty was a concept that was born in Kelly's garage in 2004. She was looking to make pants that embrace a woman's curves and particularly the what, hun?
The booty.
The booty. Mm-hmm. But they were still polished enough to wear out and about. Her signature is her patented scrunch booty pockets. Cute Booty Lounge is made by women for women right here in the USA, actually right here in Los Angeles.
Right.
The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. You just go to cutebooty.com in our show notes and order yours today. And what do people always say to me when I wear my leggings, hun?
Cute booty.
That's right.
Uh-huh. We also want to thank Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yes, a fantastic friend of the show from the beginning. We love your support, and we are so appreciative of you.
Super grateful. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, come join us on a Zoom hang.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.